Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by Melissa.
Good morning.
Seth.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for being here, everybody. We hope you're having a great start to your week out there. Be safe out there. We appreciate you doing so and taking your time places. Yep. Go and just listen to your radio. Just listen to your radio.
Chill, man. Listen to your radio. Watch the snow melt.
Going to get in some entertainment news in a little bit. I got a couple of fun topics for us there, including the top the 20 TV houses Americans want to live in. Looking forward to diving into that one a little bit later. We'll also get into, are these the best backyard games of all time? We will get into that as well. But it is a Monday in the 9 o'clock hour. Y'all know what that means.
Good morning and welcome to the Kitchens Open on WFHR for this Monday, March 31st. How often have you gone into the kitchen for a little something sweet and found nothing? Hitting a little close to home there, James. Yeah. If you're not someone who likes to bake, that may mean a trip to the store, or even if you are, it may mean an hour or more before you're able to satisfy that sweet tooth.
Mm-hmm. Baking can be intimidating.
Yes, I agree with you.
100%. I used to think the same thing. However, there are some easy-to-ingredient recipes that even the most novice of bakers can make. The first one I came across is one that not only tastes delectable, but also is a bit healthier, with a little more fiber than what you would think. Mm. They're called Yum Yum Brownie Muffins.
So now, I'm trying to remember here, Beth, when did you first make these?
Goodness. 10 years ago?
Was it? Okay, yeah. It was when you were in North Dakota, you first started making these.
Yeah, so. I came across it when I started Weight Watchers and was looking for an alternative that didn't have as many points to it because it was the point system. These are made with pumpkin, pure pumpkin puree. Pumpkin. Yeah. So it doesn't use the eggs and the oil. It's just the bake mix and the pure pumpkin puree. I can talk. Yeah, that's why you pay me, right? Because I can say things
the
like that.
The big bucks.
Your articulation.
There you go. Well, and
it's the whole reason.
These were so easy. I whipped them up yesterday as well. So I brought in a taste test. So if you want to try this out, the recipe I came across, it's called Hungry Girl, is the website. It's hungry-girl.com. And there really are only two ingredients to this. It's boxed Devil's Food Cake mix and one can of 15-ounce pure canned pumpkin, not the pumpkin pie mix that you would find out there.
Right.
It's just the pumpkin. Make sure it's that 100% pure. To make them, all you have to do is preheat an oven to 400 degrees, line 12.
James is making off with the muffins.
Carry on. Don't let me distract you. I'm just
sorry.
Take these.
He grabbed the entire container. Yeah. Took one bite, wants all the rest.
Yep.
So you preheat the oven to 400 degrees. Line 12 cup muffin pan with foil baking cups, or spray it with nonstick cooking spray. Then in a large bowl, all you need to do is mix the cake mix with the pumpkin until it is completely smooth and uniform. This is an essential step, and what I've actually started to do is put the canned puree in first and keep mixing that for a little bit, because you want to try and break down the fibers as much as possible. Otherwise, it creates an interesting little texture in the muffin. So this blending the batter with the cookie mix, the cake mix, may take a few minutes, but it's worth it. Just, you know, let it go for at least that 2 minutes that they recommend on the box, but just let it go and get consistency. It's going to be thicker than if you were making the cake itself. Mm-hmm. So just be mindful of that. So you don't want to stop the mixer too soon. Then you're going to evenly distribute that batter into the cups of the muffin pan and bake until a toothpick inserted into the center of the muffin comes out mostly clean. That's about 20 minutes. And then just let them cool off a little bit. And when you have them, when they're warm, still cooling off from the oven, they are phenomenal.
Yeah, they're really great.
You can just, my boys love these muffins. Mm. And because of the pure pumpkin, it adds fiber into your diet. Mm-hmm. You don't want to add any of the other cake mix ingredients. It's going to be a thick batter, mm-hmm. so don't try to thin it out with water or oil or anything else. It's literally just those two ingredients.
So no oil, water, and eggs?
Nope, just those two ingredients.
I don't think I've ever heard of that before with a muffin.
Yeah. And the nice thing is, you can use the same message with other flavors as well. You can mix the pure pumpkin with a vanilla cake and make it a pumpkin. And then I did this last fall, added some pumpkin pie spice to it, and it becomes like a pumpkin pie muffin.
Right.
And it's just the pumpkin and the cake mix. Mm-hmm. You can do it. All Recipes has one that is a two-ingredient pumpkin cake that is made with just the spice cake mix and a can of pure pumpkin puree. Mm. And that recipe is made at a 350-degree oven. Mm. You generously grease a 9x13-inch baking pan with cooking spray, mix spice cake mix and canned pumpkin together in a large bowl until well combined. That's the key, well combined. And spread evenly into a prepared pan. Bake in the preheated oven until the toothpick inserted in the center comes out clean. This one's about 25 to 30 minutes bake time. Cool and serve, or store in the refrigerator to serve the next day. And you can serve it with or without the frosting.
Oh, sure, tastes good either way.
Although, I didn't even think about the frosting.
Oh my gosh. With a spice cake, a good cream cheese frosting. Oh, it would be so good.
And you can make those with less calories if you get the new, I can't remember the name, new Vachelle, but it's like a reduced fat cream cheese.
Right.
Alternative to the Philadelphia cream cheese.
Right.
As a side note, generously grease is the way my dad used to do his hair. This seems like a, it was funny you gave me the line, baking is intimidating, because it actually kind of is to be somebody.
Right.
But this doesn't seem to be.
No.
This doesn't seem like a very intimidating recipe.
This is a very good first step for people that are interested in learning how to bake and don't really know what to do. All you have to do, and you can buy a box cake mix for a dollar or less some places. Yeah. Find them on sale. Use that and then buy a can, or in the fall, you know, if you have extra pumpkins, roast it, puree it, and then freeze it. Mm-hmm. You've got that pumpkin puree. These two simple ingredients combined taste delicious.
They have such a fun texture to them.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't get to say that very often. And I'm such a texture-driven eater and grazer and all this. And there's something that's so, like, it's not, I think that your brain wants to say spongy or something.
Yes.
That's the word I would say.
But there's more, it's almost like a bounce to it.
Yeah.
Right.
That is really fun on the mouth and tastes really, really good. So I thank you for bringing these for me.
Yes,
Beth.
You're
thank
welcome.
You. For me.
Just for James.
I, with my batter, was able to make 18 muffins, not just 12. So it depends on the size of muffin that you want to make. And so I made a half a dozen, you know, a dozen and a half. No, 3/4 of a dozen. That would be 9. I can do math. Math is good. I made 9 for here and 9 for the house.
I'm still counting on my fingers. Yeah. So I got it faster than I did.
Well, if canned pumpkin isn't something that you readily have available, or you don't want to pay the higher prices, because it is hard. I have been looking. It is hard to find pure pumpkin puree canned at a discounted price. I mean, the prices have gone up because there were not as much pumpkins out there.
In the last harvest, right? Yeah.
You can always make what my family refers to as Weight Watchers cake, which is the same general idea, but instead of using canned pumpkin, you use a can of diet soda. So you combine a box of cake mix with a diet or zero sugar 12-ounce can of soda and bake. And that's all you have to do. And, and it's for as long as it says on the box. Mm-hmm. Instead of using a like buttercream or cream cheese frosting, you use Cool Whip to top it.
Right.
Because the density is going to be a little bit different. And you can make some great combinations with this. Mm. Think of a vanilla cake with orange soda.
Or
a chocolate cake mix with a cherry cola to give it a little bit of a cherry taste. And then you can always chop up cherries and throw those in as well.
Mm-hmm.
So these are great jumping off points to start to get a little bit more creative.
And in general, these are a little bit more healthy too, because you're not adding sugar.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like most cakes you make, you add sugar, a lot of sugar, and then sugary frosting. But you can always, you know, modulate that as you need. So.
Well, this is with the boxed cake mix.
Right.
They already have the pre-amount of sugar in there.
Right,
so you're
true.
Not saving any sugar from the cake mix unless you use your own cake mix base.
Right.
Which if you go to like a Betty Crocker recipe or something like that, do all the dry ingredients because that's what the boxed cake mix is.
Basically, it's just
simply
together
your dry ingredients. And instead of using sugar, cane sugar, substitute it with stevia or Splenda or something like that. And that will reduce then the amount of sugars and calories that are in there.
Plus, that's a great way to learn how to do the basics of baking a cake as
exactly.
well.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So this is a great way for those that might be intimidated. And it works beyond just cake.
Mm-hmm.
You can make some great cookies out of two ingredients. I came across, and I think it was on TikTok or on Facebook at some point, this trend that was going on, again, about 15 years ago. It's when my boys were really little. And it's an easy banana oatmeal cookie. Those are the only two ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
Banana and oatmeal. You smash the banana, and it's a one-to-one ratio. So one banana with one cup of oats. Mix it together. You will have to kind of use your hands to put it into the cookie shape because mm-hmm. of the texture. And then you just bake it for about 12 to 15 minutes at 350 and let it cool. If you want to add a little more pizzazz to that two ingredients, add some chocolate chips or craisins or peanut or sun butter.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of actually how we found out that one of our children had a peanut,
had a peanut
sensitivity.
Yes.
I mean, he was only, about a year old or
he
so?
He was a year and 18 months. He was a year and a half.
And we gave him a cookie that I had made this cookie and I had added peanut butter because our oldest son loves peanut butter. And I thought this will give it a little bit more flavor. He took one bite, didn't want the rest, and then broke out in a rash. Yeah. So that was kind of our clue that maybe something was going on.
Yeah, right.
So these, and I've made that into bars and things like that.
Yep.
They really, it becomes an energy booster if you add that nut butter to it as well. They're great.
A little protein, yeah.
And it doesn't take much. You know, if you have a slightly ripened banana, just smash it up, mix in, you know, use a wooden spoon, use your hands if you want to. They're great. And in 12 minutes, you've got a cookie, and those don't take very long to cool down either.
So
you can make them in a jiff. So when you have that cookie desire,
yes,
here's something that you can do that's healthy for you and gives you that little bit of sweetness that you're looking for.
Right.
Really is hitting on a lot of the things people are looking for right now.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm. And there are so many recipes online, too. If you type into your search engine, whatever one you prefer, two ingredient recipes, you will get a plethora of opportunities to look at these things. And that, if you're really not sure how to mix or bake, this is your great first step because it's going to start to give you some confidence that I can make something and I can make something that tastes good.
Right.
And it might start to give you some inspiration to move beyond just those two ingredients.
Right.
All right.
They also smell amazing. Like, it smells so good in here right
now. It does, yeah.
After having Seth and I in this studio for like another 52 hours of the week, it smells a lot better in here right now.
Yeah, right.
So, well, two things combined to make a great deal is your business and our segment when you choose to sponsor us. In addition to being highlighted in our episodes, we can arrange an interview or even broadcast live from your business. And I actually am going to be doing that this week. I'm going out for an interview at a business that is going to sponsor our show in the coming weeks.
Very nice.
So it is possible.
Yeah. Yes.
Very cool. Very cool to hear. And if you're interested in partnering with us, just give us a call at 715-424-1300. Speak with Pam. She'll put you in touch with Ashley, and you'll get on the team.
That's right. The number, again, is 715-424-1300.
And with that, we'll close the kitchen.
Yeah.
All right.
That was fantastic. Nicely done,
you.
Beth.
Yes.
Beth was here for half a second and just jumped on and was able to do
that. Yeah,
she
did a great job.
Work.
Yep.
Thank you.
Appreciate the recording so much. But as always, the food. Thank you so much for the food. I cannot
You're
wait
welcome.
To devour it and see how fastly I can eat one of these during a commercial break.
Just two bites.
Be on the lookout for the next Kitchens Open, everybody, every Monday at 9 o'clock. We're looking forward to it. We'll be back with more show coming up on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. Big shout out to Beth for joining us. That was fun.
Bringing food. That's always good.
Appreciate
good.
That. Appreciate the breakfast. be looking next night at 9 o'clock and Monday for another edition of the Kitchen's Open. We're looking forward to that. And a little bit later, we're going to get into the best backyard games of all time.
Love it.
Looking forward to that.
Great.
Yes.
We start off with a little bit of entertainment news for y'all, and I want to get into a couple of different things here, but one of them I want to get into, and I'm coming at this from the idea of something that the three of us really champion and are very about, artists supporting artists.
Mm-hmm.
And the act of that.
Yes.
And while there are plenty of actors and you know, entertainers that may get a break, you know, not doing this, I cannot think of any examples of people who have had a very long career or a good career that basically weren't good people. I think that it's very easy, and I'm not saying that these are amazingly good people, that they're all Mother Teresa.
Right.
But more times than not, the people that survive in the industry, whatever industry, music, acting, photography, I don't care what it is, they treat others well, and a rising tide raises all boats.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to be underhanded to get this role. I'm good enough for it already.
Right.
And in that, I'm going to bring up not only in the audition process, let alone when you get to the actual getting the role or whatever.
Right.
And that's something that has existed since the dawn of acting and something that's important about it. Now, Corey Feldman, who I don't think a lot of people have thought of in a very long time.
I have not.
That is not an insult to Mr. Feldman.
No.
I'm just being honest about it. I think that's pretty cool. Well, Billy Corgan, somebody who has been thought of, former lead singer for the Smashing Pumpkins, singer-songwriter for the Smashing Pumpkins, has gone into the podcast world, like everybody, and he has a podcast. It's very, very successful. He's brought on Bill Burr and a number of other people on in recent months, and they've had some actually very famous interviews that have gone, you know, a lot of people have been talking about. Well, Billy Corgan's podcast, Corey Feldman was on recently, and he claimed he was up for two of Leonardo DiCaprio's biggest roles that Leo ended up getting nefariously, basically. First, he said he was actually cast as Arnie in 93's What's Eating Gilbert Grape, but then Johnny Depp joined the cast and got him fired. Quote, he told producers that I wasn't doing well. He wasn't doing well when he really was. And then there was Titanic, which he claimed he was, quote, in contention for, and added, quote, that was okay because that one I wasn't as close. But he also got pretty close to winning the role of Samwise Gamgee in Lord of the Rings movies, and a part that went to his Goonies co-star Sean Astin.
Right.
Corey also said, quote, I couldn't have gained the weight, so I'll have to admit that. He did a great job anesthetically being able to add the weight. It's something I cannot physically do. And that's just basically a slam on Sean Astin.
Yeah, he's really good at gaining weight. Yeah.
You know, it's just a shame to me. Like, if this any of this is true, let's even give him a percentage of a doubt that this is
true.
What good does this do?
Yeah.
That's like, a good, great point.
If you are the biggest Corey Feldman fan in the world, what does even this information do for that person, let alone anybody else literally out there?
Mm-hmm.
And as an actor, one of the things I'm bringing this up for is, again, how you have a consistent career, how you keep working. Because you could be the greatest actor of all time, and you ain't going to find work if you are not liked. I bring up Russell Crowe all the time. Russell Crowe, nobody's going to tell you, is a bad actor. That man can act.
Mm-hmm.
That man is good at what he does. You don't see him as much anymore because he's a jerk, and I'm saying that because I've seen it in front of me, like literally in person. I've seen this man act that way, and I'm not alone. There's a lot of others, and that stuff spreads. I've mentioned this about Kevin Costner. How many times have you seen Kevin Costner work with the same actor or work with the same director?
Yeah, you know, good point.
You know, there's a reason why these actors fade away, and it has very little to do with what they tell you it is. Oh, I got older, so the industry didn't want me anymore. Oh, I said this controversial thing. No, it's because you're a jerk. And Corey Feldman, since the very dawn of his career, has had a lot said about him off the field.
Yeah.
And the way he treats people and the diva mentality he had at a very young age in almost every role he had. Now, I'm not talking about Stand By Me, Corey Feldman. I'm not talking about that actor. That's a kid actor. Mm-hmm. It's that actor that came into this one, that grew into this actor mm-hmm. right now and stuff. And mm-hmm. the idea that Johnny Depp or had any kind of like power at even right now, let alone when he's just starting out and playing.
Yeah, he was a young guy too. Yeah,
what director or producer is going to listen to him? Right. Like,
well, Johnny Depp said he wasn't any good, so I guess we're gonna have to get rid of him.
Plus, let me tell you how difficult it is to get somebody fired when they've already been cast on a movie. You are every single attorney in your crew is telling you not to do it because you're setting yourself up for lawsuits.
Contracts have been signed.
Look at what's happened to the movie Rust. It's just now coming out. They finished that years ago, but it was held up, obviously, in courts and
because
everything.
Because of, yep.
Mm-hmm. It's an extreme example, but that's what I'm talking. That's the fear of every attorney on every movie set in the world, this kind of thing. So the last thing they're going to do is look for anything that could slow this process down. And just being blunt here, Corey Feldman's never been close to the actor that Leonardo DiCaprio is.
Not really.
If you need an example of this, watch literally anything Corey Feldman has ever done and watch one scene of Leonardo DiCaprio from What's Eating Gilbert Grape. As a young man, I thought Leo was handicapped. I thought there was something with him. I had not seen him act before. It was the first role I'd seen him in. Mm-hmm. I was literally to this day am blown away by his performance in that movie. It's incredible. And it is noted by many, many people who do have those inflictions and the thankfulness and the respect he did to that performance. Leonardo DiCaprio, whether you like him or not, whatever you might think of him, that's one of the best actors you'll ever see.
Mm-hmm.
And he has been that for a very long time.
Yes.
So I'm not trying to be a jerk here, but I mean, when you're going to call out other artists, when you're going to have something to stand on, not just your word.
You're like, not just playing a victim.
Yeah.
Because this just all sounds like whiny babies.
It really does. Well, you know. Me. Yeah. I could have
almost got this role.
I could have done this. Yeah. Well, go and get a different role then. Come on.
This is an interesting story, and it speaks to, I think, not only English humor, but dark humor in a way, and I think something that is relatable to all of us the older we get. And you may not think you have a lot in common, or you may be able to relate to Roger Daltrey, one of the bigger names, one of the better frontmen in human mm-hmm, history,
right.
A lead singer of The Who, and obviously an accomplished actor and solo
several
artist.
Roles, yeah.
Well, it was 60 years ago that Roger Daltrey sang, "Hope I Die Before I Get Old." Didn't happen.
Nope.
Daltrey, and that's his words.
Yeah.
Daltrey just turned 81 earlier this month, and he is still performing.
Oh, my gosh.
But it sounds like they may be slowing down. During a show at Royal Albert Hall in London, Daltrey said, quote, "The joys of getting old mean you go deaf. I also now have got the joy of going blind."
Oh.
He had a quote, "Fortunately, I still have my voice because then I'll have a full Tommy."
Okay.
Obviously referring to the rock musical Tommy and everything. And so he's been playing into the idea that he might be turning into Tommy.
Right. Deaf, dumb, and blind kid, right?
Right. And I just... I don't know, and none of us do unless you've actually are there or been through it, mm-hmm. how we're going to react to those things if the wheels fall off,
right.
You know, in life and everything. Mm-hmm. I admire that so much of this man.
Yes.
I admit, I am a fan of dark humor and everything. But I love when one of the things I love about dark humor is to be able to – one of the things that it does that I don't think enough people realize, it creates empathy when it's done right. And you can laugh while also realizing, man, Roger Daltrey gave a lot to the entertainment industry. Mm-hmm. Like, he had a really good career. Take a second here and appreciate that.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a second to appreciate what it is getting older. And maybe I should appreciate what I got right now. I spend every day, you know, complaining about my aches and pains. It could be worse. Maybe I need to appreciate that a little bit more.
Right.
All through dark humor. Like, yeah. I'm not saying it does it every time or every individual feels that, but that's mm-hmm. one of the beauties of dark humor to me is the idea that it can create empathy,
right.
That it can actually show that we have a connection with Roger Daltrey, that right. we have a connection with people that we wouldn't think we would.
And dark humor so often addresses fears, right? Mm-hmm. Fears of getting old, fears of dying. That's where some of the best dark humor comes from, is the stuff we know is going to happen. You know, we know we're all going to die. So how do we address that? How do we turn that into something so it's not as scary?
We as laugh it could so be. We don't cry.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's one of the main reasons we have it.
What TV home would you want to move into? What if you could ditch and move into your favorite TV house, what would it be? Well, for 13% of Americans, it would be the Tanner House in San Francisco from Full House. That was the number one answer in the poll of over 2,000 people.
Okay.
We got a list here. We'll just touch on a little bit. So yes, the Tanner House from San Francisco Full House. I don't remember that house that well, but if it's a house in San Francisco you're giving me, yes. Yeah. I don't need to see
free?
Yeah, oh, I don't need to see it. I don't care where it is. Yeah, I mean,
are they talking about the outside establishing shot or like the sound stage? See, I'm curious about what people actually are looking at here, but that's just me.
The Banks Mansion in Bel Air from The Fresh Prince of Bel Air. Again, yes, CC the other answer.
Yeah, right.
Blanche's Miami home from The Golden Girls.
Oh, okay.
I thought of that one.
It's not a very big one.
No.
It's a little smaller, yeah.
It always seems small for four. There was five of them in that house, wasn't there?
Four.
Was there four? No, there was
four.
Yeah,
there was the four ladies. Right,
there's four. I'm sorry, but Blanche sometimes had a fifth. No.
Boom, boom.
Monica's purple apartment in New York City from Friends. I don't know the words I just said.
No, that's weird. Okay. I mean, it's a nice apartment, but it's an apartment. Again, is it rent controlled? I mean, it's in New York, maybe. I don't know.
The Bridgerton Mansion in London from Bridgerton. The Brady House in Los Angeles from the Brady Bunch.
Very 70s house there.
Tony Soprano's New Jersey mansion from The Sopranos. My God, yes.
Except you have to live in New Jersey.
You do got to live in New Jersey, though.
Yeah,
you do
that's
gotta live
rough.
In New Jersey, though. Yeah. The Simpsons Springfield home from The Simpsons.
It's again. Although
I've always wanted a cartoon home.
You know, it's and it morphs. You know, whatever they need, the house turns into, which is hilarious. I love that.
Which version are you getting?
Yeah, exactly.
There are episodes where they've got like a guest room in the back, and then there are episodes where it's not there, like
do you get the giant Olmec head in the basement? Does it come with that? Then I'll take it. Yes,
I'm sure there are a lot of contests that I wish I had won. I don't even remember what it was. It had to have been almost 20 years ago. Fox did a contest where they were literally giving away a Simpsons home, like everything in it looked like the cartoon.
Yep.
To this day, I'm mad at those people that won. I wanted that.
Just as irrational anger, just because.
What I really want, honestly, out of the whole Simpsons thing, and I'm being dead serious here, Marge has a picture of a sailboat that's right behind them. Just a little, I want that picture. I want that sailboat picture. That's what I want.
As long as it's a cartoon. It can't be real. It's got to be a cartoon.
How about the White House from Veep? Wait a minute. You can't do that.
The White House is the White House. Come on now.
You can't do that. Jerry's New York City apartment from Seinfeld.
Again, it's small apartment. It's just a small apartment. Yeah.
The
Cosmo Kramer does not come with that. So
don't get that. You don't get that with it. The Buyer's Cabin in Hawkins, Indiana from Stranger Things, or the Nevermore Academy in Romania from Wednesday. That's a whole academy. That's not a home.
Yeah, that's a school. It's an institution.
Don't count.
No Hogwarts on there.
Ooh, didn't see that.
I'm shocked.
TV show. That's not a TV show.
Oh, that's true.
That's true. Yeah.
Although it is going to be a TV show, or they are doing
something.
I don't know. Yeah, whatever.
Who knows?
Who cares?
We will take a time out. We'll come back and we'll get into
I didn't get to tell you mine.
Oh yes,
please.
Melissa.
Oh, please, Melissa. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I was going to say Little House from Little House on the Prairie, because it's a cabin, which is just fun.
Great choice.
Yep, but with also, an outhouse, no running water. Yeah, that's great.
And since I pointed out that Harry Potter is a movie, I can't say Green Gables from Anne of Green Gables, because that's also a movie. But I can say Rose Cottage from Road to Avonlea.
Oh, okay.
Good choice.
I don't know what that is.
Which
but
is
hey.
A spinoff of Anne of Green Gables, but was a TV show on
nicely
BBC.
Nicely done.
Oh, wow.
Got to kind of figure
out. Technicality, nice.
Yeah, yeah. Shoehorn that one in there. That was great. Did you have one, Seth? Did you have a home?
No. I never even thought about that.
How about the spaceship? How about the from Mystery Science Theater?
The Satellite of Love?
The Satellite of Love.
No. To be fair, we don't know what the rest of the satellite looks like. We only get to see the one thing. And so the theater, that's all we get to see. So who knows? Maybe it's great.
Nice theater.
Maybe it's great.
I could live in a theater. take a time out. We'll take come back and we'll have some fun talking about the best backyard games of all time and plenty more on the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Seth, and James hanging out with you. We hope you're having a great, great start to your week out there. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can talk about this as if we're making plans to hang out in the backyard when we can again.
Eventually, we can. We can.
Whether you're barbecuing or just hanging out, what's your go-to game you like to play in the backyard? We've got a ranking of the 10 best backyard games of all time, based on fun, accessibility, and overall popularity. See if you agree.
Okay.
And you can, of course, call up or text us through the Civic Media app. We encourage you to do that, 715-424-2600. Mm-hmm. So, cornhole pops up right away. Mm-hmm. It's the kind of go-to game now. Cincinnati gets credit for coming up with the modern version in the 60s. But someone also patented a similar game with square holes way back in 1883.
Whoa. Well, that's older than I thought it was.
Way older than I would have thought. Yeah.
That's beanbag toss. Yeah. I mean, that's basically.
Basically. Is that what we used to call it? Beanbag toss back in the day? Basically. Yeah. Yeah.
Bocce. It's good for multiple people, and you can play it anywhere. You don't need you don't need a legit bocce court or even a nice patch of grass. It'll do. Just open space. You know,
different terrain is so much fun.
Yeah, that makes it.
We play it every year at our family camp out.
Yes, love bocce. One of my favorite lawn games of all time.
Gonna be this is a little surprising even to me. I've never played bocce.
Really?
Oh. I've never played
the Italian lawn game. Yes, you've never played bocce.
I've never played the Italian lawn game bocce. Yeah.
Well, I have a set, James. Maybe we'll have to do a team building in somebody's yard. Ooh,
it'd be fun.
So my my dad and his brother and my aunts destroyed the one bocce like thing we had in the family, and they never bought a new one. So by the time my cousins and I come around, none of us got a chance to play or learn bocce or anything.
If I remember correctly, Melissa, you can correct me if I'm wrong, that the actual bocce set, those are made out of clay. The bocce balls are made out of clay. Is that right?
They probably are, but I have a cheap set.
Oh, okay. So that's probably just wood.
It's like the kids' version.
Yeah.
They're lighter weight. Like my my uncle Chuck brings his set, and they definitely you can tell the difference.
Yeah, they're much – actual bocce balls are heavier.
Really nice
yeah.
bocce balls and my El Cheapo bocce balls.
Wiffle ball. A guy in Connecticut made backyard baseball possible when he came up with this back in 53.
Ooh. Wow. Man, I have gotten hurt more times playing wiffle ball.
Oh, my God, yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
It's way dangerous. More dangerous than like playing an actual baseball game, right?
Yeah, it feels like it. Two-hand touch. Flag football is even better. Just stuff a rag in your belt and you're good to go.
Did that a lot when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
In school.
Mm-hmm.
So, man, I love doing that one. I love kickball.
Kickball.
Fun fact, Brits call it football rounders. And Canadians call it soccer baseball.
Soccer baseball. Interesting. Okay.
I mean, that makes sense.
All right. Did you guys ever play this, the variation of kickball called mat ball? So it was in the gym. So this wasn't actually outside, but it was in the gym. And we had the large mats, but they were in each corner. And you could kick the ball anyway. There was no foul territory. So you could kick the ball whichever way you get and just run to the mat and kind of thing. It was a little different. Maybe it was just our school that did that. But
yeah, I don't know.
It was actually kind of fun.
I don't know. We played Foursquare.
Yes. Okay. Yes, I remember doing that. Yeah.
Okay. On rainy days in school.
All right. It might have been similar to that.
I do remember that one. Horseshoes. Ah, the classic.
Yep. I like horseshoes.
It's harder for little kids to play than cornhole, and you have to add permanent stand pits to do it right.
Right. Yeah. Right. But still.
But you find them outside a lot of bars.
Yes.
In Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything
in
more?
Campgrounds.
Is there any sound more satisfying than hitting a ringer in horseshoes? Sound. That is a great sound.
Is it one of the better sounds in sports?
Yes, it is.
It really is. And learning how to, once you get the rhythm and the idea of that down, it feels so good to be able to do. Badminton. Not as popular as it used to be, but still a lot of fun. It's a little annoying to set up and take down the net, but most people enjoy it still.
Or you can play without a net. You can do it without a net. Just run around. My sister and I played this a lot when we were kids. Well, we had a big yard, so we were able to do it. But, yeah, love badminton. It's fun.
Ladder toss. It's gotten pretty popular in the last 20 years. A mailman in Pennsylvania sold the idea back in 05. Then a company called Ladder Golf LLC started selling sets. I'm not sure I know what this one is.
If you would like to learn, we have one.
Oh, cool.
If you want to learn how to play ladder golf, it's actually a lot of fun. It is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not bad. It's, you have like PVC pipe that has multiple
there, bars. That's a good picture. It. Yep. And you have two golf balls tied together on a string.
Yep. On a string, and you toss that and try to get it around one of the ladder rungs.
And each rung is worth more points. Some of the harder ones are worth points.
I'd play that.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's fun. Yeah, it's a fun game.
And you can knock off other people's golf balls. And
Every game involves tossing.
Like, it does. A lot of it really does.
Pretty much.
This next one's a little trauma-inducing for me, and I'm not alone. Lawn darts.
Lawn darts, yes.
The original versions were lethal, like literally lethal.
Pointy-ended things that went into people's feet,
I've mentioned before, one of my favorite people in the world, my cousin Lisa, has a scar right under her eye from one of my lawn darts that went flying.
Yep.
And I swear to God, I remember this like it happened 20 minutes ago. We're all being warned, hey, watch when somebody's throwing the dart. Watch when somebody's throwing the dart. Lisa was like four. It was like four or five and just happened to be walking. She got excited. And, but I can remember seeing it leaving my hand as she's walking and not being able to like just grab it and pull it in.
We're thinking slow motion, right?
And the guilt in this moment I'm feeling just talking about it is so palpable.
Feel guilty, James. I wasn't even there.
Wow.
Lisa, to her credit, has never once made me feel bad about this. It's her mom and my aunts that have.
Yeah, they're like yeah.
The guilt is still from there.
Any lawn darts, James?
But, huh? Lawn darts, man. That's a... Croquet.
Oh, my grandparents had a croquet set, and again, my sister and I played that a lot. Probably not the actual rules, but we did knock balls around the yard a lot.
Is that the one with the birdie? Like it's got the little rubber ball on the end and the like plastic net looking thing on the end of the ball?
Hmm. No, that's badminton.
That is badminton.
Okay. Yeah, croquet is played on the ground. You have mallets. Okay. And you have again, with the little wire,
like Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, you have to knock them through the thing. Yeah, and there's sticks on each end that you have to hit and then make your way back around.
My parents had one of those sets too.
The word is French, but it originated in England in the mid 1800s.
Okay. Yeah. Oh. Okay. That's cool.
They brought up something here that I thought was pretty cool and a good question. Does playing catch count? Just playing catch.
Yes. That you have. It doesn't matter what you're playing catch with.
100% it does.
Yeah, you can have a mitt and a baseball or a football. Mm-hmm. Toss it around. Yeah, really? I think that's a good backyard thing.
Because I would say that's probably
a beach ball.
Yes. Yeah. Definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely. I would say that's easily my favorite. Mm-hmm. By far and away, that's my favorite thing to do. I love playing catch.
My kids, archery. Mm-hmm. They like doing a little backyard archery. Yes. Again, you have to make sure your safety first, of course. Mm-hmm. But just that's pretty fun.
That would be, those are good ones. Mm-hmm. Those are really good. I like those. What are your favorite out there, everybody? Or to you two, if you have a favorite. 715-424-2600. We'll keep this one going all spring. All spring, we're going to be talking about this.
Covered all the ones I did.
I have a newer one that my family's been playing a lot. It's called Coob.
Coob?
Yep. It's a Swedish outdoor game with wooden blocks.
Okay.
And it's said to have been played all the way back to the Viking ages.
Wow.
So, yep, it's spelled K-U-B-B.
So their version of Cube, I'm guessing.
Yep, and it's a game involving strategy and skill. So the yard, there's like a wooden blocks that you set up, and then you have to knock them over. Oh. And when you knock them over, they get moved. And I mean, it seems a little involved because I don't remember the rules, but you toss like round cylinder blocks and try to knock over cube blocks. It's fun.
I'm intrigued now.
It it also is very affordable.
You get a set for not bad.
Well, $50. Yeah.
I seen one for $30.
So, oh, okay. That's not bad.
Well, if you go to the official website,
I'm sure you get the nice version.
Especially with these things, I could spend $50 when it's something that I'm probably going to have the rest of my life.
Sure.
You know, I take care of it and everything. Like that.
These are made from solid hardwood.
Yeah, so they're going to last for a long time. Oh, yeah.
I would have. Okay, so I got two new games to try this summer. I'm excited. I want to do both of these. That sounds awesome. And a fun list. And again, we'll keep that list going. And we want to hear from you and all of yours, everybody. We'll take a time out. We'll come back, and we're going to have some fun talking about our local stuff that we got going on here in town and plenty more on The Morning Show. Welcome back, everybody. You say goodbye, and I say hello. Time to wrap up the show for a Monday. Thanks so much for joining us, Melissa and Seth, here with us. Hope you guys are having a great Monday out there. We're going to take you to the top of the hour, let you know about our schedule. And at the top of the hour, you got Jane and Greg coming in, Matt and Air on air, ready to bring you a great week of shows and get you ready for your new hour better than anybody.
That's right.
And it's regarding what they're doing, they're also going to be having your next word for you to text to us through the Civ Media app.
Yes.
Yeah, another chance to win.
Yeah. They'll have the next break into spring text to win statewide contest word. Be listening for that and all the great fun that they bring, of course. And throughout the day today, we'll have more of that opportunities for you to play. At the top of the 11, 1, and 4 o'clock hours, be listening for that keyword to text to us through the Civic Media app and get in on the winning, everybody.
Yes, indeed.
We also want to a quick programming note. Tomorrow on The Morning Show, Melissa and I will be hanging out with you. We're going to welcome in at 9 o'clock Jeremy Schmidt.
Oh, yes.
Jeremy just joined us a little while ago talking about one of his businesses. This time he'll be in talking about Rolling Rome. Looking forward to that.
Very cool. Yeah. Awesome.
Jeremy's great, by the way. Yeah. We had a great time with him. It's going to be a fun interview. Looking forward to that. A little bit later today in Midday Magazine, we'll kick off the week the right way. And, of course, during an election week, we always welcome in our great friend, Wood County Clerk Trent Miner, going to be with us.
Always great information. Mm-hmm. Man, he's got good stuff.
Trent is awesome.
Yes, he is.
He's great. We appreciate him and appreciate him coming in and putting up with my silly questions and
it's good stuff.
Most importantly, informing our community and keeping us in check and helping democracy ring.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Actual, real voting information.
Yes.
That you can take to the bank.
Well, and then in part two at 4:30 today, Jake Adams, assistant GM here with your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters, is going to be joining us.
Woo.
We're talking baseball.
Hey, I'm telling you right now, can you get a better American midday today? You've got voting and baseball.
Come on.
What's more American than those two things?
Apple pie.
That's right.
That's all we're missing. Cannot wait. A couple of great guests to kick off the week. A big shout out to Pam Hilke and the amazing scheduling she does week in and week out with that. And that'll lead you right into Playmakers. We'll be here from 5 to 6 today. And welcoming in assistant coach of your Lady Royals. Randy's going to be bringing that in. Nice. We're looking forward to that. We're going to have a lot of fun this afternoon. Join us from 5 to 6 for Playmakers. Brought to you by Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods. And we'll be here all week with Playmakers, everybody. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, we'll be here all week with the show. And plenty more. So, Seth, we wanted to touch on something else really important in our area.
Yes, indeed. It's the next Blood Drive, Community Blood Center Blood Drive, happening today, everyone, starting at 2, going till about 7 o'clock this evening at the former East Junior High School, room 111. That is just off of Lincoln Street in Wisconsin Rapids. You can still schedule an appointment if you can get to a phone, 800-280-4102, 800-280-4102. Appointments are appreciated, but they will not turn you away. If they have an open slot and you walk in off the street, they will take you because, of course, we always need blood donated, everybody. And you know as well as we do that this is still very important. So that's happening today from 2 to 7 over at the former East Junior High School, room 111.
You can be a superhero. You can do it. We appreciate you, everybody out there who has donated and continues to.
Please. Please do.
And a quick look at some good stories of the day around the world. A woman in Dallas reached out to thank Delta for helping her say goodbye to her mom, who passed away in October. She was trying to get to Bismarck, North Dakota, to see her when their flight got delayed, so she would have missed her connection. But the pilot heard about it and got her in touch with the next pilot, who agreed to hold the plane until she got there.
Wow.
That's awesome.
They also bumped her to first class so that she can get off the plane faster. The second flight waited about 30 minutes. minutes. Mom passed away the next day. She wrote online that Delta's kindness gave her 24 extra hours with her and let her say, I love you one last time. I apologize. I understand this story could be triggering or rough for some out there. I thought it, we don't get a chance to tip our hat to our airlines at all, if ever. And I just, I was blown away by this story. So I apologize, but I thought it was worth noting and, and worth bringing up.
That, those pilots, I mean, above and beyond. That's that's an amazing way of doing. I mean, yes,
really
remarkable.
Got me. Really remarkable. Got me. The story happened a little while ago, but it's just now making the rounds and everything. That's a really good story.
Yep.
Very touching.
And a 61-year-old guy named Ed Rahmer was out walking his dog in upstate New York last Thursday when he saw a 7-year-old boy fall in the river. It was freezing cold, and the kid could not swim.
Oh, dear.
He called 911, then tried to pull the kid out but couldn't reach him. A cop eventually got there, and they worked together. Ed held his legs while the officer reached down and grabbed the kid. Oh. Got checked out at the hospital. Kid's doing okay. So is Ed.
Wow.
Shout out to him.
Yes.
An 81-year-old waitress in Pittsburgh can finally retire thanks to a video posted by a random customer last week. Tammy Kotzner took her young son to Eaton Park for lunch last Thursday and heard the waitress tell someone she couldn't afford to retire yet. Tammy posted a clip said, if I can make any video go viral, I hope it's this one. Then she ended with, okay, TikTok, do your thing, and people delivered. She shared a GoFundMe link, and the last we checked, the people had donated over $300,000.
Wow.
Wow.
I mean, when you're
the 81 years old and you have to waitress, waitressing is a hard job.
Physical.
It's physically physical. Hard it's job. It's hard work. It's mentally taxing. And to have to continue to do, well, it just.
Yeah.
good on TikTok.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And sad that we have to do that.
Yes.
That's not right, if you ask me. Anyway.
It's a good story right there with some great notes from you two about it. A big thank you to everybody out there who is sending us good stuff and good articles and good reporting. We appreciate that. We want to cover what you want. Nobody's covering this area better than us, and that's why we encourage you to sign up for the WFHR newsletter. Mm-hmm. Get on over there right now, sign up for it, and keep informed in this community. Tomorrow on the morning show, not only will Melissa and I be talking a little bit about Noises Off and the play that's going on right now and how that is developing. But we're also going to be touching on voting and reminding you about what you need to know before you hit the polls. Making sure that you got that checklist all taken care of. Because it's not only important, it's something that I believe that most people out there want to do. So we're going to help you make sure that list is all checked and ready to go.
Nice.
And a quick reminder that we're looking for Easter egg hunts. If you're an organization hosting an Easter egg hunt this spring, let us know. Give Pam a call at 715-424-1300.
We'll make a list.
Yeah. Great show. Today, you guys.
You too, man.
You too, James.
Have a good day out there. Be good to each other.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.